Father, we just love you today. We just thank you that, Lord, even though we've rebelled against you so many times, Lord, we are accepted. We are accepted by you. We thank you for that amazing love that you give us and that you display for us on the cross, that you display for us again and again when we come before your throne of mercy and we ask for forgiveness, and you promise us that you take our sins and you choose to throw them in the depths of the sea and not remember them anymore, that we may be washed white as snow, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ did on the cross. God, what an amazing love that you have for us, that agape love. We thank you today for that, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Y'all doing okay this morning?
Yep.
We got one person that's doing okay. That's good. So this morning I am excited. I've enjoyed preaching through the scriptures. We talk about it all the time, but this has been one of those passages that I'm like, I can't wait to hurry up and preach these other ones so I can get to this passage today. But you know what? It's important to start it. And from the beginning and go all the way through, because when we do that, we see it in context and we see why Jesus is saying what he's saying, and it almost makes it more powerful why he's saying what he's saying. So Matthew chapter 11, if you want to turn there, we're going to wrap up chapter 11 today. We're going to finish that, and I'm looking forward to getting into chapter 12, Lord willing, next week. So the title of the sermon, if you're a note taker, is The Great Invitation. The Great Invitation. Most sermons, while you're looking for that, if you ever noticed, especially here at this church and a lot of churches, they end with a time of invitation, right? Has anybody ever noticed that? We always have that time. You know, it's usually at the end of a church service for anyone to have the opportunity to make a decision that maybe God has been speaking to them through the time of worship, through maybe even through the week, but it just really welled up. The Spirit was evident to them. God was working on their heart about something. Maybe it was about salvation, whatever, through the time of worship and the preaching, the teaching of God's Word, to make a decision to actually humble themselves before their Creator. They simply ask for forgiveness and to call upon Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. See, in my personal experience, it's important to have. I've seen, some churches that don't. That's fine. We're not knocking that. But in my personal experience, I am glad that we have that time of invitation. And I think it's very important, because I know how many times I sat through, and I know I've shared this before, how many times I sat through church services, how many times I sat through messages and times of worship and youth group messages when I was a kid and ignored it and walked away without accepting the invitation that was given to me. So it's important that we do this every week. So if there's somebody that's just as stubborn as I am when it comes to listening to the Lord, they have that opportunity every week, because there's something special about being invited. And an invitation is important. See, this is a lot of times like guys don't. Jenny will be like, well, we need to send out invitations, or we need to make sure that this person feels invited. I'm like, oh, they know. You know, guys a lot of times miss the point on this, but ladies are really good at making sure people feel welcome and making sure they know that, like, we want you to come here. If I receive an invitation to somebody's wedding, I know that I'm welcome there. Not only am I welcome there, but they're sending me this invitation saying, we want you to come. And it's a good feeling. If we receive an invitation to a party, we know that we're not only welcome there or get together, but we're wanted there. Somebody took the time to write down this invitation and send it to you and say, would you come and be my guest? See, this is one of the reasons why I like having that time of invitation before the end of the service here at this church. We want everyone to feel not only welcome here at Fork Union Baptist Church, but we want them to know that they're welcomed by their Savior. They're welcome. There's always that opportunity, as long as we're still alive here on earth, that we can repent and turn to God and have a relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ, be forgiven of our sins, to be spiritually born again. So in this passage this morning, we're going to see that Jesus is giving this crowd the greatest invitation that's ever been given, that ever will be given. All right, and so let's read Matthew chapter 11, if you found that with me, after I find it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He says this. It says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you for the invitation, Lord, that you give us. Oh God, our souls need rest, and you knew it. God, we're burdened. We are a burdened bunch of stubborn people. And God, we need rest for our souls today. Lord, there's somebody here today. It's not just me. It's not just me. Otherwise, I would have just stayed at home today and I would have preached this to myself. God, there's somebody listening online. There's somebody here today. There's somebody that may listen to the podcast later that needs rest for their soul. God, we thank you for the great, awesome, amazing love in this invitation that we just read. From you, our Creator. Just to simply come to you. Simply come to you. That's it. We fight so hard. We fight so hard on our own when the battle has already been won. And it's not ours to fight. God, I just pray today that we would find rest, Lord, just through reading your scripture, just through reading the word, Lord, not the words that I say, but the words that you speak today. God, give us rest today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So before we really get into this scripture, I want to remind us what Jesus had just finished telling this crowd of people. All right, do y'all remember last week he was kind of rebuking the crowd a little bit? He was kind of getting on them. What did he say? He said, y'all are a childish generation, right? Y'all are a childish bunch of people. And then he did what? He said, y'all are going to be worse off than Sodom and Gomorrah. Y'all going to be worse off than them because y'all have seen me do all the miracles and you still reject me. He warned them of the judgment. And then lastly, he said, thank you, Lord, for blinding those people and not letting them see things. Because you know what? They didn't come to me like a child. They think they can figure it all out. He said, we're a blind generation. You remember that? All right, we left out here like, man, you know, you kind of beat up on us. All right, this is in the same chapter. This is in the same breath. I feel like he said all this stuff. And then he goes, and then Jesus said to them, come to me. Come to me. So he didn't just leave us hanging out there. He never does. He didn't leave them hanging out there and say, y'all sin. Y'all, I was going to say y'all something else. Y'all stink, right? That wouldn't be appropriate. Y'all stink. Y'all are a bunch of childish. Y'all are a bunch of people that need judgment. And you're blind. You need to grow up a little bit. He said, do you still not get it? You see me do all these things. And then he says, come to me. So in this passage that we just read, Jesus paints two pictures. And this is the first picture he paints, if you look at verse 28, is a person who is extremely weary. This is a person who's reached their personal limit. They can't take anymore. They are exhausted. They have gone as far as they can on their own. They can't go any farther. They can't take another step. They're so worn out. Anybody else ever felt like that in life? And no matter whether it's today or some other time in your life, if not, the day is coming where you're worn out and you just feel like, what else can go wrong? What else can be laid on my plate that I have to take care of? The second picture that Jesus paints is the person who is under extreme, extreme pressure. This is the person who is under extreme pressure and they can't take anymore. They're like that teapot that's just steaming. You know, it can't hold any more pressure or they will explode. Maybe it's the world, maybe it's their sin, maybe it's their worry, their anxiety, their anger, their struggles, on and on and on. Whatever it is, they're at the end of their rope, as we say. So if you feel beat down by the world today, or maybe you feel under extreme pressure, this invitation is for you today, just like it's for me. It's a simple invitation, and that's what's so cool. It's not hard to figure out what Jesus just said. He kept it very simple. He said, come to me, right? Come to me. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I'm gentle and I'm humble at heart. You'll find rest for your souls. Come to me and let me teach you. That's what Jesus is saying. It's a simple invitation that requires so little, but it offers so much. Let that sink in for just a minute. Let's look at the first part of this invitation. Go back to verse 28 and let's read it again. It says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So here's this first part of the invitation, the greatest invitation that's ever been given. Jesus gives us, he says, come to me. Are you tired? Are you worn out this morning? Jesus is saying, come to me. Just come to me. Lay it at my feet. Come, let me carry. I've already carried the cross. Come to me and let me have it. Maybe you're tired due to work. Maybe your career. You know, maybe sometimes you got to sit back and say, what am I working for? What am I slaving to death for? What am I doing this to myself for? Why am I working so hard? For what? What is it all for? You know what? Solomon talked about it. He had everything he could ever want. He had palaces. He had all these beautiful wives. He had all this fancy stuff and the gold and the silver and all that stuff. And you know what he said? He said, at the end of my life, he said, I've just figured out somebody else is going to get to spend all of it. Somebody else is going to get to enjoy all the stuff I've worked for. They get to enjoy it. What's the meaning of it all? It's all vanity. Maybe you're tired of living for just fleshly desires. Maybe you're just constantly being disappointed by trying to fulfill your maybe your sinful desire. Maybe it's something you think will bring you satisfaction in the moment. Maybe it's just something that your flesh wants, and you're like, man, that should satisfy me. If I go buy that or if I go do this, it should make me happy. But it always leaves you back to that same place most of the time, even more disappointed and more needing of fulfillment than you were before. Maybe you're tired from living with guilt and shame of your sin. Maybe the burden of your shame and your guilt is just literally eating away at you. All right? This will wear you out, and it literally will destroy your life. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. Maybe you were tired of running after possessions. You ever notice the more you have, the more work it costs you, right? At one point, I had a garden tiller. I had two weed eaters. And I thought I was like, man, look at all this stuff God's blessed me with. Two four-wheelers and a zero-turn mower and a tractor, you know, two vehicles and then an old truck that I wanted to fix up. You know, all these possessions that I had to have. And you know what I spent all my time doing? Working on all of them, trying to keep them getting going. And they were aggravating me. And I was like, what's going to break down next? Now my power washer's not working. Now this isn't working. Now this isn't working. The more we chase after, the more our life really becomes burdensome. It really just beats us down, and we get tired trying to keep up all of our worldly possessions. Maybe we're tired from being lonely, just to switch gears a little bit in our mind. Maybe we feel like nobody else in the world's passing us by. Maybe we're just tired of being lonely, and we just feel like we can't be any longer. Maybe we're like the days, I remember my grandmother telling me when she was at home by herself, when I would go to visit her, not enough, but when I would go to visit her, she would say, the days seem to never end when I sit here by myself. Maybe you feel like that and you're tired of that. Maybe you're tired of trying to hang on to the good old days, right? Me and Jenny were talking about the day we wish everything could just go back to the way it used to be, right? Because we were comfortable there. We worked so hard trying to make things the way that we were, or the way that they were. Now look, after the last year or so, I can't blame anybody for that, all right? But the fact is we can't do that. We can't undo what's happening. We can't undo what's happened in the past or whatever. We have to deal with what God has given us right here and right now. Even within the church, we get caught up in, well, we used to do it that way. We used to do it that way. But I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work because we've proven it that works this way. I don't know about it. We should try that or whatever. See, trying to hang on to the past, no matter what it is, it's exhausting and it will wear you out. Trying to preserve the past is exhausting. While stepping out in new territory with God and stepping out on faith into new places where God is calling you, you know what it is? It's exciting and it's fulfilling. Because you do it and you see the goodness of God through that. And then sometime later on, another generation is going to say, we need to change that because God's leading us to something else. And that's okay. There's just a few things out of the many, the things that make us tired and make us feel burdened. But Jesus says what? Church, he says, come to me. Come to me. No matter how big or small the struggle is, no matter how intense the despair in your life is, no matter how lonely you are, or whatever it is that you're dealing with, Christ will give us rest for our souls. That's what he promised us. Jesus said it himself. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. Now, there's somebody here today that's thinking, my soul needs rest? I just want rest for my body. Like, I just want one good night's sleep. If I could get, like, a night's sleep or just maybe I just feel worn out. Like, so, preacher, I mean, I just want rest for my body. Like, how do I do that? If that's you today, I want to tell you this. Once your soul has found rest, and once your soul has the peace in your heart that only comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, once your soul is really at real rest, then you really understand what it means to rest. King David found rest after he confessed his sin of his sin with Bathsheba when he had the affair. And then he had, that wasn't good enough to cover it up. He did what? He sent his her husband Uriah out onto the front of the battle lines and had him killed to cover it up. And they say it was like almost a year or so that David held on to this guilt and this shame, and he hid it from everybody. And he hid it from the God, which he really wasn't hiding it from God, but he thought he was. Listen what he says. So he wrote this. Listen to Psalm 32, 1 through 5. We're going to read it because I love this passage because I can relate to it. He says this. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. I remember very well in my personal life, just one little example, living my life. My life wasn't lived in honesty. I was one person outside of church. I was another person when I came to church. And I remember still working on that. I would have to work on not saying things that were inappropriate in the church because I've been saying them all week, right? I've been saying them all week. So all of a sudden when I come to church, it was so hard to control my tongue because I wasn't controlling it during the week. I wasn't living in full honesty. That's just a small example. When I refused, he goes on to say this, when I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away. Listen to that. He didn't say, you know, my soul wasted away. He said, my body wasted away. And I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy upon me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. But he says, finally, I feel like I can relate here. I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. You see, when we're heavy burdened, no matter how many vacations we take, no matter how many cruises we take, no matter what we do, no matter how many days off we have in a week or whatever it is, we cannot find real rest for our souls, but we also cannot find real rest for our bodies. David said, what? My body was wasting away because I was up all night worried about it. Or even when I was at work, my mind was distracted because I was thinking about all my guilt and my shame or whatever was burdening me that I haven't confessed to the Lord and asked Him to forgive me of. And this applies to us who are believers, just as it is of someone who's never been saved before, who's never called upon the name of Jesus. Doesn't mean just because we've accepted Jesus, just because your pastor is a pastor, right, then I'm not going to sin. We all know we fall back into sin. So when Jesus says, come to me, this is not a one-time invitation. And that's what makes it so great. It makes it so great because not only is it for everybody, but it's an open invitation. When we fall short, we come back to this invitation and we say, Jesus, I've come back to you again. Forgive me. I'm so sorry. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Would you please forgive me? And you know what he does? He takes our sin and he washes it white as snow. He throws it into the depths of the sea. And he chooses to never remember it. Until tomorrow when we do it again. And then we go back in. But that's okay. We try. We strive. We should strive. We should keep pressing on, like Paul said, and try not to sin. And try to rely on the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit guide us and all those things. But when we fall short, we come back to this open invitation. So whether you need to come to Jesus for the first time today for salvation or the forgiveness of your sin, whether maybe you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for years, but you've backslidden, as we say, you've slidden back into some of your old ways, or the devil's, you know, had a little bit of victory over you this week and you feel like you've slid back into your old ways, or you've slid back into some new sin, it always has the same results. It leaves us weary. It leaves us weary and heavy burdened because we say, man, I should have done that. Especially us as believers, because you know what? We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have a holy, think about that, a holy, the Holy Spirit dwelling in our body. It's not going to be okay with us living in sin. It doesn't mix. It's like oil and water. It's like two magnets in the wrong way. The Spirit's saying, what is going on in here? This is not what's supposed to be here. I'm holy and I can't be in the presence. And so that, you know, you really feel like your body is wasting away. It always has the same results. We always end up burdened and weary. Because there's nothing worse than carrying around unconfessed sin. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. And it's a day-by-day necessity to find rest. Psalm 116, verse 7 says this. Let my soul be at rest. It doesn't say just once. He says, let my soul be at rest again. For the Lord has been good to me. Is your soul at rest today? That's the question. That's what God is wanting you to ask yourself today. Is your soul really at rest today? Not have you checked the box of baptism. Not have you checked the box of, oh, I was got called on the Lord one time and I was saved. I went forward to the church and, you know, one time at VBS or whatever. I'm talking, the Lord is talking to you today saying, is your soul at rest today? No matter how big or small the burden is it at rest today? I remember shooting out a window at my mom and dad's house with a BB gun. I had the old classic Red Ryder. And I remember I was shooting at a bird. There was a window that was behind a bush. This like big mulberry bush type looking thing. And I remember shooting at this bird and I heard it hit the window. And I said, oh no, please don't let it be. Because my dad would always tell me, I don't care, but you better not hit a window. And I go back there and I look and there's this, in the corner of the window, there's this little hole that nothing other than a BB would fit perfectly in. And it had a few little cracks and I hid that and I moved stuff around. And my mom would go in the laundry room with that and I would stand in front of it. You know, and I would talk to her and distract her. So, Mom, you know, can I help you with some laundry, you know? But I remember it would keep me up at night. Does anybody remember that feeling of knowing like, man, my mom and dad is going, they're going to kill me. Or my boss is going to fire me when he finds out I did this or whatever. It is the worst feeling you can have. We're living in sin and we try to conceal it from God who already knows it anyways. It's even worse than that. Let your soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. What I've learned is when you go back to the Lord, now look, sometimes he's going to say, look, you're going to have to deal with the consequences. My dad might have made me pay for that window, but he didn't kill me. He forgave me because he loves me, right? So I still had to do some of those. I might have had to help him repair it. I might have had to work off. I might have even got a whooping, all right? But you know what? He forgave me. It wasn't the end of the world. I just confess it and get it over with. I think that window's still broken. I need to work on confession too. Let's look at verse 29 and 30, and we'll keep going this morning. This was supposed to be a shorter sermon. I told John it would be because we got a little bit different ending this morning. We got a late start. We might get out of here a little late. So y'all hang in with me. This is what he says in verse 29 and 30. He says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Here's the second invitation that Jesus gives us in this passage. This invitation is this: take my yoke upon you. All right, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So why should a person want to take the yoke of Christ upon them? Number one is this: Jesus Christ is gentle and he is humble. That's what he said in his own words. Right? Some owners will train their animals, they'll train their oxen when they were working with them, and by whipping them and by beating them and then by beating them into submission and saying, you messed up, and they smack them or they whip them or whatever. But Jesus is not like this. He's not one of those people who whip us into submission. Jesus is gentle and he's humble and he understands our weakness. Why? Because he walked among us. He became flesh. He became a man. And the scriptures tell us that he dealt with every temptation that we could ever deal with. Every trial, every feeling, every emotion, every temptation, he's dealt with it. So he understands our weakness. He lived with us and he lived with those 12 disciples that no matter what they saw him do, they doubted and they questioned. He knows our weakness. Number two, the second reason we need to take Christ's yoke upon us is because it's another way for us to find rest. Now, we're going to go over this a little bit longer. We just talked about rest, but there's no rest. There is no rest that you will ever get other than knowing you are in the center of God's will. So if you are doing exactly what God has called you to do, what God has created you to do, man, that's when you sleep good at night. When you know that you're doing what your Heavenly Father wants you to do. Number three, the third reason to take up the yoke of Christ is simply because it's easy, right? I don't know about you, but I always take the easiest path, right? I mean, I'm like, if I got to climb the wall or I can just go around it, I'm going to go around it. And it's the easiest way we can go. It's a burden sometimes to be a Christian in this world. Yes? Is that, would you agree with that? It is somewhat of a burden that Christ said, pick up your cross and follow me. It's a burden to leave your family and become a missionary and to leave or to your friends and to move to a foreign country to spread the gospel. Is it a burden for me to study for a sermon throughout the week and to set aside that time to spend with the Lord and to spend in the Word? Yes, it's a burden. Is it a burden for people to lead a small group or a men's study or a women's event or whatever? Maybe plan an outreach that we have here at the church to reach the community. Does it take a sacrifice? Is it somewhat of a burden? Does it stress you out a little bit? Is it a burden for somebody to not be in here with us in service to say, I'm going to go sit with the children today and take care of them so everybody else can hear the word and the kids can teach and hear the word on their level? Is it a burden? Absolutely. Is it worth it? Absolutely. But the burden is light. And that's what Jesus is telling us. He's not promising us that we're going to have the easy street from here on out. That we're never going to have another trial. That we're never going to have a problem. That we're never going to be stressed out a little bit. He's saying the burden is light if you're doing it for the Lord, Jesus Christ. And if you're doing it for Him because of what He did for you. It doesn't matter how bad the burden is. If you're doing it out of the right motives, all of a sudden the burden is light. Because you remember that heaven gave everything for you on the cross. How dare me complain about setting a day aside to write a sermon, or how, you know, or planning an event, or being faithful to follow through with the study that I started, or whatever it is. Serving in the church, you could be splitting firewood, whatever it is. We have to do it with the right motives, and all of a sudden, it's not only light, but it's enjoyable. You see, the young oxen, when it starts out, may start rebelling against the yoke. Right? They don't like it. If you put a dog on a leash at first, what do? They fight against it. They pull in the wrong direction. But once they figure it out, it's not so bad. But once the oxen starts pulling in the right direction of which that yoke was designed for, the pulling gets so much easier and more comfortable. You see, the yoke is designed for one specific purpose to go on that oxen. It's not for pulling in reverse. It's not for pulling to the side. It's for pulling straight ahead. It's designed for one specific person, to allow the oxen to pull the best, to pull to the best of their ability without hurting and causing harm to the oxen. And until the oxen learns to use the yoke the way it was designed, instead of pulling in the opposite direction, instead of fighting against it, all of a sudden when that oxen figures that out, he finds that life is so much more easy for him, and it's so much more productive in the field. It's so much easier to pull that plow, to pull that cart, when you just stop fighting against the yoke and you just say, okay, let me use it the way it was designed. This is how we so often are when we quit rebelling against our Creator. When we say, oh God, I'm tired of fighting against you. I'm tired of fighting your spirit. I'm going to listen to what you have for me. I'm going to obey what you want me to do. Most people will go their entire life and they'll pull the wrong direction against the yoke. They'll go all their whole life and fight against the yoke. They think, well, I have my own plans and my own desires. God wants me to give up this, and He says I got to give up that, and I got to carry my cross, and I got to turn away from my sins. I don't want to do all that. I can go my own way. I don't want to give up my sinful pleasures. I don't need all that religion and all that stuff. I don't need God. I don't need that. When in reality, even if it's not obvious on the outside, they are weary and they're burdened in their soul. Even if they don't admit it, they're weary and they're burdened in their soul. Until we fill that God-shaped hole, if you will, that's in our heart. Until we have been reconciled and forgiven and we are accepted as a child of God into the heaven of into the arms of our Heavenly Father who loves us and created us, knit us together in our mother's womb and knows every thought that we ever think, before every word before we even speak it. Until we've been reconciled with our Creator, we're so weighed down that we are weary and we are heavy burdened. So how do we find this rest? How do we take this yoke upon us this morning? Well, we simply have to make the decision to follow Christ. He says what? He says, come to me. Jesus said, come to me. We have to obey. Just listen to what He says. Come to me. That's the first step. Come to Jesus. The second one is quit fighting against His will for your life. Once you come to Jesus, He has a new purpose for you. He doesn't create you anew to leave you as the old, right? He's got a new purpose for each of us in our new life in Christ. Quit fighting against His will for our life. And lastly, we have to be willing to allow Him to teach us. Now, this is the tough one, right? Because we're okay with the salvation part, but when He starts revealing to us and wanting to work out our salvation, the things in our heart that we need to change, the things in our life that we need to change, the words that we speak that we need to change, we don't like that so much, right? Because we're more comfortable in the past, just like it is with everything else. It's easier to live the other way. But when we actually do this, we're filled with such peace and joy, knowing that we're loved by God, that we're forgiven by God, that we're filled with His Holy Spirit, that we have rest for our souls, we have an eternal hope that this life and all the struggles that go along with it and how short this life is, it's just the beginning of the eternal hope that we have, where there's no pain and no suffering, nothing. But worship 24/7 and just stand in the radiance of God. Can you imagine? Can you only imagine? And we have a purpose-driven life while we're here on earth. So no matter where life takes us, no matter where God calls us, no matter what our past has in it that's stained our past, no matter what our struggles are, or what they look like, or how bad they are, or how unforgivable we think they are, we find rest in our souls, and we find that life is so much easier to bear when we're in the center of God's will. Amen? Even though He may call us to take some leaps of faith, even though He may call us to be a little uncomfortable every now and then, He may push us out of our comfort zone. If we take His yoke upon us and we just say, okay, Jesus, this doesn't make sense. This is impossible. But instead of me pulling to the side, instead of me trying to get out of it, I'm just going to focus on what You've called me to do and I'm going to plow forward. All of a sudden, you quit getting those blisters and your neck doesn't hurt anymore because you know what? You're just simply pulling the way that yoke was designed. What God has designed you for a specific purpose. And when you take Christ's yoke upon you, all of a sudden you say, whoa, why was I fighting this? This is so easy. If we take His yoke upon us and we allow Him to teach us, no matter how crazy it might seem to the world and our soul, people say, man, he's lost his mind. He's lost his mind. I can't believe he goes to Africa. I can't believe he does this. I can't believe Shane's going to do this. I can't believe Corbin's going to do this. I can't believe Kelly's going to do that. She's one of those weird Jesus people. But you know what? When you're in the center of God's will, you're doing that, man, you got the rest that nobody else can. You got the joy, you got the peace, and you got that comfort just saying, you might think I'm crazy, but I don't care because you know what? I got a higher calling. Jesus Christ has called me to do this, and I'm comfortable in this yoke, and I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. In fact, I'd be miserable if I was still in the barn just sitting there doing nothing. And we find that the yoke of Christ is the most comfortable thing that we'll ever put on. And when we wear His yoke and we take and we learn from Him, we can't wait to put it on every morning. We can't wait to get out into the field and plow over that old fallow ground so he can plant his seed. We can't wait to be used in his harvest. We can't wait to get out there and say, give me that yoke. Give me that yoke, Jesus. I'm ready to pull for you. So as we close this morning, as the worship band comes back up, we're going to close a little bit different way. So we're going to leave the live stream going. We're going to sing two closing songs, okay? The worship band is going to sing a song for you today. And it's a worship song, but it's also a song that sings to us. And it reminds us through song what Jesus did for us and what we need to do. It says this, "Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide." It says, "Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." You see, in the Old Testament, people would have to come and sacrifice one of their finest animals, not their old gimped up one that was already attacked by a wolf, the finest animals. They had to bring it up to the altar, and they would have to sacrifice it there to be accepted by God, to be forgiven of their sins. Under the new covenant, Jesus became that sacrifice for us when He gave His life on the cross. And it covered our sins. But we still, daily, just like we talked about, just like Psalm 116 said, we need to come before the altar. Lay down our hurt, lay down our addictions, lay down our anger, lay down our burdens, whatever it is. And we ourselves become the holy sacrifice to God. This is how we truly worship God. It's not through just singing a song. It's through everyday life, working our salvation out, saying, God, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to put Your yoke on. God, I'm going to come to You again and be forgiven so I can start fresh. Give me Your yoke and let me take it upon You because I know it's the easiest way to life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2 says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It's perfect. Christ's yoke is perfect for you. And he is custom fitted for you this morning. Oh, he's custom. He's got the little leather pad around it so it's not going to rub on you. It's so perfect. My yoke is custom made for me. Anybody ever wore something or driven something or operated something that was custom made for them? Oh, it's so nice. Christ's yoke for us today is custom made for you. It's perfect. But it all has to start with us coming to the altar. It all has to start with us coming to Jesus. So as we sing, I want us this morning to spend time investing in our personal relationship. You don't have to stand up. I'm going to ask that you stay seated right where you are. And I just want us to, you can sing along with us. You can close your eyes and just listen to the words. Maybe you just need to pray while we're singing. Use this time, and we're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to have a time where you can come forward as we sing the closing hymn. But this time is for us just to really focus on what it is that we need to come to Jesus with. Amen? So if that's you this morning, just spend some time and let's worship him, but let him speak to us this morning.
The Father's arms are cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Amen. We're going to sing this last hymn, Just As I Am. And this is an invitation for you today. Jesus already told us to come to me, right? He said, come to me. Take my yoke upon me, learn from you. Well, the first step is actually coming to Him. The second step that God requires of us and that He wants us to do is to tell everybody else. Tell the world of the treasure that we've found. So at the end of this song, and during this song, let God speak to your heart. Is there something that you want to come say, look, let me tell you, let me give a testimony of what I have decided today. Let me give a testimony of what God has done in my life. I'm ready to be free. I've given it over to Him. Because you know what? There's somebody else that needs the courage and needs to be encouraged to do that as well. So they can walk in newness and be a new creation in Christ. Amen? If that's you this morning, come as we sing.
Thank you.
church service ends doesn't mean the Holy Spirit ends, right? I could stay here all day, especially when people are listening to the Spirit and the things, but so often we cut it off when we walk out the door. So just remember this week as you go out, as I go out, to let Christ teach us. He's kind, He's gentle at heart. He wants to teach us what He wants us to do in this world. While we're here, He's got a purpose for us, and He wants us to come to Him. Be forgiven of all of our sin, all of our guilt, and just come to Him. Let Him teach us. Some of y'all are here thinking, like, man, you just preached your whole sermon in 3 sentences. Why couldn't we just got that verse? Right? That's what y'all pay you to do. So praise God. I am so encouraged today. I'm so, my heart's heavy in a good way. Because I know the Lord is at work here at Fort Union Baptist Church. So let's end right. Let's go to Him and give Him all the praise and the glory. Father, we love You. We praise You. We sing hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Lord, help us to bow before You this week and just say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We thank You, Father. We thank You. Help us this week as we go out, Lord, to take Your yoke upon us. But Lord, we have to remember that it has to start with us coming to You. No matter how big or how small it is, we just lay it at Your feet. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Pick up Your yoke and say, what do You want me to do, Jesus? And Lord, You're so good. You're so good at teaching us. You're perfect. Because You're gentle, kind, and humble, and You love us. Lord, we just praise You again for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.